That song was one that we used as theme at the beginning of 2016, where we talked about habits of wakeful people in a series. I had no intention of putting that, or one or two other things that I might say this morning, into the talk as of last night, but when I got home again, the other 10 people who were staying in our house were watching Jonathan Ross. And at the end of Jonathan Ross, they brought up a guy called John Legend, who was there to sing a new song he'd got, and also because he had won the GQ Best Dressed Man award for the year. I thought, I know John Legend, and my son and daughter-in-law were there who bit into music. And I said, do you know this guy? No, I'd never heard of him before. And then it occurred to me, the only other time I've heard of John Legend was in relation to this song that we used at the beginning of 2016. So it sort of raised it with me. And there's a sort of synergy with what I want to talk about this morning. I'm going to be focusing in on the sort of weird stuff, the sort of insight, metaphysical, the way in which we intuit things, and for some of you it makes sense and you'll grab it. For others of you, it's not your kind of thing, and that's just fine. We can catch up on that at some other stage. So if you'll excuse me, I'm going to be sort of ticking bits off as I go along. I'm going to be using emails. I've got a few photographs and a couple of somewhat personal, but hopefully not embarrassing stories. I was going to bring something at the end there, but we'd run out of time. Nobody's fault. You know, these things. In 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about when you bring messages in tongues, you bring it by one, two, or at the most, three. Now, that was because Paul was thinking that after three messages in tongues or three words from the Lord, the kids start playing up or people get tired. You know, he lived in a church where people could fall asleep during the night and fall out the window while he was preaching. So he did actually understand that those were issues. And there are times when you can't bring things in. But something I've been working on, which is a bit unusual to the extent that one of my profs said to me, you can't put that in your thesis unless you're going to explain it in a lot of detail. And I don't think you understand it well enough to explain it, was the he didn't say that, too polite to say that, but that was, or he was saying it will be another thesis for. And I was thinking of that in relation to Sarah this morning, and it applies to loads of you. In fact, it applies to all of you in your careers. One of the developments we as charismatics need to make in our understanding is that the Spirit of God doesn't only come down wham and intervene in situations, sort of Acts 2, but the Spirit works from below, right from the point of our birth, from the point at which God breathed into human and human became a living soul. Yeah? And so that is what's always happening. You see it in that Jesus didn't ping into the manger. There was an intervention from God above. There was a development, and I don't like this term from below, but there's a guy called Karl Barth, who, German theologian, who's really important. And because he talked about theology from above and theology from below, everybody uses that. But working from below, working from humanity, Mary went through pregnancy. You know, that's, it did. Jesus didn't just pop out from nowhere. Oh, I've had a baby, sort of thing. She knew for a while beforehand the baby leapt in her womb, and she probably felt uncomfortable and maybe chucked up in the mornings as well. So there was a below thing. Now, you guys experience the below in your training and your study and all the things you do, your skill development, the things within your personality that you bring into your work, all of that is accountable to the Spirit of God. Who was it? It was David in talking about Proverbs, that the word wisdom is a very important word. And in the Old Testament, the Spirit is the source of all wisdom. So if you're wise, if you know how to, with or without a Haynes manual, do something with a Decathlon Mosquito, where on earth does a book like that come from? That wisdom, all wisdom, comes from the Spirit of God. You know, God is the source of all that. But then, as well as that, there is the time when there's a spark of insight that comes from above when God intervenes. And every one of us, and we can see it very, very clearly with Sarah's job, where when you think about the kind of things she's into, when in the middle of the night she's going to be confronted with children with problems that are well beyond her specialism, but her job is to work out where to point them. At least I assume that's primarily what a job is, not to be a sort of brain surgeon and, you know, sort of a cancer surgeon just halfway through the night. And in those circumstances, there are loads and loads of Christian medics who testify to the fact that sometimes God brings insight. Now, that's not to rubbish the fact that the Holy Spirit works through people who don't believe in him, works through everybody, whether they're looking through him or not. And we praise God for all the skills of everybody who contributes to the goodness of our lives. But one of the things we can pray for Sarah, and you can pray for in your job and in your classroom, and Rosie, with your patients, and guys, you know, I can't actually think of how it applies to lots of the other jobs, is that there will be just that point where insight, as well as wisdom, comes into what you're doing. You know, I don't know how it works in Sainsbury's, but I do know that they need God, particularly when I'm standing in a long queue for a checkout. But if I see that, then the stuff that you see, and I know that quite a lot of times when I talk to you, Mark, you're sort of, oh, you know. And the rest of them may not have the advantage that you have the advantage of saying, God intervene, God come down, as well as sort of through below, from above. So I just wanted to add that in, and it actually gives us a chance to pray for someone else. Most of you, well, you all know Becky. You know Becky and Daniel. You're going away in a couple of weeks' time. This is your last Sunday with us. Just in a couple of sentences, tell people where you're going, what you're going to do for the next few months. Everybody turns around to look at you. So you might as well stand up now. They're all looking at you, because you'll be able to project your voice a bit better. Yeah. That's why I don't warn you beforehand.
Very careful with introversion. I'm actually going to Spain at the end of the month to work in Spanish school to assist them with any language team, which is a massive diversion to what I actually do, because I'm a research counselor, training, so a little bit. Anything else?
That, I think, actually is a good start, because, yeah, we can... We can pray for people who are nuts. But I'm not sure that wanting to go to Spain towards the end of September, if you live in the UK, is nuts at all. So we'll also pray against envy. But let's just pray that God will keep her, and that for both her and Daniel, he will do much more than they could ever expect. Incidentally, Becky says she's not a Spanish speaker. Yes, I would look like that as well. That was Philippa, whose look of incredulity, you know, sort of, yeah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for everybody you put among us, and Father, we thank you for initiative and adventure and the possibility of seeing new things in new places. And Lord, we want to be glad that you're just the same in Spain as you are here. And in fact, you're going to be more for Becky in Spain than you have been here. And so, Father, we pray that as you take her away from us, you'll look after her, and that as she comes back, you'll bring her back to us blessed, and with Daniel having become bigger and broader and good tracks set in his life for the future as well, because of this time out. Amen. Okay, sometimes we get ahead with these things, sometimes we miss them altogether, but we're grateful that we had a chance to pray for you. Now, clock. It's hot. Where was I up to? Yeah, autumn 17 into January 18, we talked to you about adding the grass to our logo as we were rethinking about our calling and our mission. We did look at putting the logo on there, and it didn't work because partly the clash of the grass colour. We stood and looked at it. You know, David worked on this and produced the thing full size 7 or 8 days ago in A4 sheets and stuck it up in the office. And he and Carol and I stood there and looked at it from our various points of view, and we decided that it just wouldn't work. But I don't think you could have had something that more strongly reinforces the fact that we have added green to our logo than that particular image. That was really quite something. And into January, we looked at this as a revisiting of what we understood as our calling. We had previously had another formulation, we wanted to put that to one side because we found ourselves talking about finding out what God is doing and joining in so much more. And so we came up with this, and we introduced that in January. Now, I am really very grateful to David in this, because I know that one of the areas in which one of many areas in which I'm weak is the fact that this stuff comes to me, inspires me, touches me, share it, move on to the next thing. But anything that happens in that sort of area has to be anchored in strategy. You know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We may have a little glimmer and a little vague and a little cloudy idea of what's going on in heaven, but it's all very well talking about it, but unless it gets anchored. And David said to me shortly before the summer, we need to do something about this. And we'd already had the experience of one day saying to Bara during Thy Kingdom Come prayer, do us a favour, can you put this up on a piece of board? What have we got? We got some cardboard, I had some pens, she put it up there. We loved the lettering, and in fact, because among my other weirdnesses, I'm a typography nut, the way in which she had hand lettered that really appealed to me, and we said, well, why don't we ask her? And off we went. And I was on holiday this year when I, for another reason, I don't find a need to read my email on holiday. But I'm grateful that I'm in a position in life where I don't find a need not to read my email either. I happened to pick this up and looked at it, and something really struck me about it. Tell me, when you look at it, does it anything strike you about that? There's no right answer to this, by the way. I'm going to hear lots of different answers. But what strikes you about that? Pictorial analysis, Mark 1. Yeah.
The moon or the sun in the corner.
Yeah. It is moon or sun, isn't it? It's an interesting question there. Yeah.
So. I have a fence around the white force, but fence, which gives you the idea of the beyond.
Yeah. The beyond's an interesting thing. The fence around the White Horse actually does exist. Because otherwise idiots go and try and decorate it or slide down on top of it and all that sort of thing. Sue has mentioned the thing that really impressed me. I can understand why you would emphasise God and Wiltshire, but the fact that beyond was highlighted was an ooh moment for me. Because I found myself saying, do we need to ask Barra to take it back to white? Or is this something that God is emphasising for us at this time? It's not enough to make a doctrine out of, but it's too much to ignore. And I would say, guys, watch out for this, because I think something that Barra has grabbed hold of is the fact that God may be pointing us to beyond just when we're feeling that we're not really making enough headway where we are. And that's God, you know? We put Wiltshire and beyond in consciously. We discussed it for hours as to how we formulated it. And now seeing it emphasised is something which is stirring me, and I hope it will touch you as well. Okay, that's that done. Oh, by the way, some of us are getting together on Saturday, particularly if this is the long-term what for us, we need to discuss the how. And you will know that we've got Pete and Kath Atkins next Sunday. If some of us are getting together with Pete and Kath during the day here next Saturday. And if you would like to be with us to be part of that how discussion, then do have a word with David. We'd be very happy to involve you in that. We want everybody's positive input. We don't want you to tell, we're not worried about how not to. We want to know how to, and they're going to lead us through some stuff there. I think David was telling me, because he's spoken to Pete recently, that we'll probably get a good chunk of what they were talking about at New Wine this year, but translated down to a level of Day Spring detail. So that's something about next Saturday. The other thing that I told you about the connection back to John Legend and Wake Up Everybody, but we actually, as we talked through this, got into quarter to 12, if we've got time I'll add in that point as a coda on the way through. Okay, I want to tell you about this picture I saw. Let's do this, because I need this even if you don't. Wendy's birthday is the 4th of May. That's incidental. It's also Joe Roberts' birthday. Is your birthday the 4th of May? Yours is the 3rd, yeah. What's that? 29th of April, all right. I don't want to know anybody else's birthday. I'm just putting some anchor points in here. April, Philippa, Carol. And 4th of May is Wendy's birthday. The 5th of May was a Saturday, 6th of May, Sunday. And on the 6th of May, Alan was leading worship. And of course, at that time, none of you knew what he was going through. And I felt that he did a really brilliant job of being real and holding it together and working at the level that was just right. Sarah picked up and really ran with some stuff. It was one of those occasions when I sat next to her, as sometimes I do. I'm not always being as awkward as this, but I was saying to her, okay, where are you going to take it? You know, what you're going to do next? And she was really for it and stirring herself up there, and I was really encouraged about the Sunday morning meeting. And then on Tuesday or Wednesday, I read a post by a guy called Martin Scott. Now, I have mentioned him occasionally. Martin was the leader of Cobham Church, which was the sort of central pioneer church, and took over from Gerald Coates. And his wife died, I can't quite remember, but it would have been in the early 2000s. And since then, he's moved off because he was already well known as a prophet. We've heard him, had great input from him at times. He was the guy who introduced the phrase relationships for territory's sake, and actually said Pioneer, which the denomination we're part of, has to be willing to die in order to build relationships locally. And that actually signaled the great time we had between about 1998 through to 2003, when it seemed there was a great gang of ministers who were just friends in Chippenham. Some of you will remember that, and out of that came Revival Seeds and the staff of Millennium Night and all sorts of things that were just such, well, they were fun for me, and I think you guys benefited from it as well. So I sort of follow Martin, who now lives in Spain, and has got a real heart to see something of God move in there. And he put up this thing about a dream, a post he had had. He said he had a dream that he was at a conference, and he spoke to the guy who was leading the conference and said, "I've had a prophetic word about a new car, and I want to bring it." And the guy in the dream said to him, "Oh, that's really good. We want to talk about prosperity and God's provision. And new cars are a great thing." And he said to the guy, he said, no. He said, "That's not what I'm talking about. I don't think God wants to talk to you about a new car. I think what he wants to talk to you about is a new means of transport. A new way of getting there, a new way of doing things." Okay? At that point, apparently, he woke up and posted this and said, there's a real problem that quite often we don't listen properly to prophecy. Now, here's me. I've got this thing, and I think, not only have Roy and Linda just ordered a new car, but I'm expecting delivery of a new car on Friday. Okay, 3-4 days later. This is interesting. The Thursday of, so this is what, 7th, 8th. Scott, new car. Thursday, the 10th, it was 8th, 9th, okay. The 10th, Thy Kingdom Come starts. I'm in the prayer room. It is my one duty, one afternoon when I was responsible. And I was on my own for a while, and I spent my time just thinking over this. Now, new means of transport, new vehicles, has a resonance for anybody who attended John Wimber's leadership conferences, Signs and Wonders conferences during the 80s, because he used to say, you can use any vehicle as long as you don't mess with the values. And that's something you will have heard from us from time to time. Any vehicle, keep the values. All right, the values are the things that stick. And it started to make a bit of a pattern. And so I was thinking, God, are you saying something to me about this? Now, here's a car that's under wraps. You can't see what it's like. The following morning, on the 11th, I'm due to pick up a car. And here in front of me now, I have an email to the oversight, which I posted to them on the morning of the 11th at 10:22. We had immediately after that session, by the way, that I was responsible for, David and Carol and I had a meeting to talk about how we were going to help Sarah. Because at that stage we didn't know what she was going to do. She had options of doing a PGCE, she had options of going with OM or with YWAM. She'd actually turned down the YWAM one because she wanted to do Soul Survivor, but I'm sure they would have had her again. And she was thinking about, I'd done some consultation through the year about college courses. We couldn't find anything that was full time, believe it or not, that suited her. And she was thinking about going to Freedom Church Hereford. And so we sat down and said, look, what's best? God was speaking to us in all sorts of ways, and we just continued to pray, and we agreed that Carol would talk to Sarah and say, we will support you whatever you do. We will try and get people to back you and contribute. At the same time, there were other consulted voices from outside the church who were saying, you ought to try and find her somewhere of training and staying in Dayspring, because losing Sarah is too much of a problem. But it's a real principle about holding people lightly and doing what's best for them without treating them loosely. So we wanted to stay close. We wanted Sarah to make the decisions. It was going to be her own decision. Even when she was sort of chewing on her nails, saying, oh, I don't know what to do. It was her decision. And so we were thinking about that. And then, to add insult to injury, this is at 4 o'clock. We've said, right, we will do nothing to hold Sarah back. And the call we dreaded and we were waiting for, we got from Mark, who said he hasn't lost his job at Sainsbury's, he's been promoted. And he says, look, he said, Kerry's got a job as well. I just can't keep going with the transitional team and with all of this on. And the feeling was, man, you're absolutely right. Since then, they've decided they're going to build their own house. Very exciting. We're all going to have a look at the architect's plans, but after me is one of the things I've always wanted to do. Hey, have you got the plans yet? Yeah, you got them. Oh, you didn't tell me either. Never mind, you've been on holiday. But we knew that for the time at least, it was just so appropriate to release these guys. And I have to tell you, I was a bit down about this. And I was thinking, God, are you saying something about the new vehicle, the new way we're going to do things, that it's still under wraps and we can't see it? And I thought, yeah, that's interesting. Now, following morning, I'm feeling nervous about the car. As you know, cars, until this time, have never been a big thing for me. For a start, although we were only planning to keep it for 3 years, it was rather more money to put into a car, but then I'd had some money from my mum and dad, and Wendy and I thought it was an okay thing to do. We decided that we wanted a hybrid, just partly as a testimony, partly because we feel that it's part of our responsibility to do what we can. We're by no means perfect in just working with the planet and what God wants to do with it. I'm up all bright and early, not having slept terribly well, all excited, new car, Christmas sort of thing. And flip me if I don't get a call at 8:30 from a very embarrassed and shaky salesman. He says, Mr. Halls, he said, we've got a problem with your car. And he explained what the problem was, and his problem was basically that he had not sorted out the documentation before he went off on a course that week. And he said, what's the very latest you can come in? And we had a party we had to go to for going out with our granddaughter. It was yet another birthday. We said, well, look, 2 o'clock's the latest. And here's what I wrote in the email. I said to this morning at 8:30, I had a call from the salesman cancelling the pickup because they hadn't sorted the paperwork for my car, and that they would try to have the invoice tax and registration, so it wasn't taxed, right? At 8:30 this in the morning, and it was first taxing. Try to have the invoice tax and registration. Though he clearly got no confidence in his ability to deliver. He thought it was going to take several days, you could see it. And my inclination was to think, well, good night's sleep. I now no longer am so bothered about it. It'd be much more sensible for me to pick up a car, drive it back from South Bristol when I'm not feeling nervous. But I wrote to these guys and I said, however, I feel a need to pray a prayer of faith that the papers will be sorted so that what is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Okay? And I also said to them, at a minimum in terms of this new vehicle, we need to see more resources released to support us, and particularly David, in moving forward. And we need to help Sarah find the best development path. And excuse me mentioning what we discussed about you, Mark and Kerry. And I said we need to protect and nurture Mark so that long term, we get him back in the team, right? And incidentally, I've written there, that's made me think of another Mark in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. And I also said perhaps we should be wanting to see some new vehicles, some new ways of doing things that we haven't seen it before. Now, 10:22, 10:45, I get a phone call saying it's all sorted. You can come and collect your car. Now, I'm going to show a picture which is just sheer swank. It really is. I've never seen anything like it before. I know that they do it. But in terms of mid-priced cars, when we got to Toyota, South Bristol, the receptionist was standing there and the salesman, both waiting for us to come through the door. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Hawes. Look at the end of the showroom. And at the end of the showroom, it took that stupid, I don't know how much extra we paid for this, was, whoops, let's go back to the picture. Where's it gone? That's really interesting. Yeah, it is, isn't it? We go back to, I'll take it out here. And then we can look at it this way. Was that right? The car was standing there with a red rope and a big placard up. Today, Mr. and Mrs. Hawes collect their brand new Prius. Wendy had got her best frock on, so she was all right. But I hadn't. I didn't even see the rope and the banner. And there was this car. And they wanted us to sit down without being able to see it. Goodness, they could have been an old clunker underneath there for all I knew. But they sat there with it. And as we were sitting there, I thought, God, you are saying something about the fact that what's going to happen next for Dayspring is not something we can see at the moment. Okay? So he's trying to get me to sign papers. Wendy's wanting to get the cover off. And I am texting a photograph to oversight, thinking, ooh, and, you know, sort of, I'm shaky about driving the car. I'm shaky about what's God saying at this time. So there we are. And we got to it. We uncovered the car. And since then, I've been able to come back time and time again because Andy's right about the rotors. We have got a real problem. Okay. Financially, we're 3,000 down at the moment, year on year, against budget. But often, if you've got a budget of 100,000, 3,000 down is not too far out. But we do need more giving if we're going to expand, going to do extra. But every time I sit down with David and talk, and we talk about the complications of things, I find myself coming back to the fact that the car's got covers on it, you know? Every time something happens so that the team seems smaller rather than bigger at the moment, Marion's really preoccupied with her mum, who hasn't got very much to live, longer to live. At the moment, Alan's needing to concentrate on where he is with his family and so on, and we're inviting him to sit in on meetings if he wants to, but not putting any responsibility on him at all, just to see what God will do over the next month. He's got quite enough to think about. Now, with all that stuff going on, when I think about your issues, Sarah's issues, the schedule, you'll have to excuse me, because all I can think about is a car with a cover over it. But there's something there. And on Wednesday or Thursday, I provoked David and said, "What do you think it's going to look like when the cover comes off?" To which he said, very apologetically, because he's always a bit like that, "I'm not sure, really." And I said to him, I said, "You wouldn't be, would you? Because if you were sure, there'd be no point in there being a cover on it." Yeah? And guys, that's where we are. And if you think that we sound uncertain sometimes, we are. Because we just believe that God's going to do something. Going to do something for us. I'm going to finish off with another little bit of... Let me just see if there's any essential things to tell you. You know, we ended up, when we talked at the beginning of January, with the sentences about don't grow weary in well-doing. And while we were on holiday, it was our last day, last full day anyway, I think, but I decided, just behind our hotel, there was this sort of extinct volcano, and I wanted to walk up it. It was only a little volcano, but it was a couple of hours to get to the top. And Wendy stayed behind, and I walked. And as I do when I'm walking, I find that a great time for God to touch me, stir me, and so on. I was having a real Sabbath. You know, a Sabbath's not being off duty. A Sabbath is being before the Lord. That's the best day off you can get, because that's the way you get revitalized and re-energized. So I was going up fairly steeply. There were lots of signs. The path had fallen away in places, but there were a few people coming down. There was one German girl in wearing Birkenstocks, which wasn't terribly clever. I was wishing I'd had boots on, because there were quite big steps to climb up and working up towards the top. And I was listening to a playlist. I could have played the songs that were on the playlist, could have played the one that really impacted me, but not many of you have my tastes in music. And I'd listened to a number of jazz tracks and going through these songs as I was going up. And there was one I'd got no memory of at all. And it was a track from 1967 that had been covered by Beverly Knight. And it's called "Change Is Gonna Come." And the story of the song is this. And I'll try and catch what touched me. So I'm walking up, I'm on my own, as far as I can see, nobody else is around, praying in tongues. I do try to avoid doing that when there are other people on the trail. Although, of course, if most of them speak in Portuguese, it doesn't matter too much, they just think you're talking to yourself. And praying at this, and the words of the song go like this: "I was born by the river, and like the river I've been running since. But I know this, that change is going to come." And you know, I thought that just tells me my story. Because I don't know about you, but I think a lot of you may have been once born well away from the river. But when you were born again, you were born by the river. There was this sense that there was something moving, there was a sense of something growing, there was a sense of something special. And I've lived all my life in the expectation that things could be better, that things could be different, that things could be more special. And when I see the cover over the car, over the vehicle, I think, what's it going to be like? It may not be flash. It may be different to what I've expected, but there's a possibility that all we could have ever hoped in Wiltshire and beyond God is going to do. And if you want to listen to the track, if you go to YouTube, have a look at the one that Beverly Knight did with on Later with Jules Holland. Amazing lineup, fantastic delivery of the song, but that's another matter. And so I want to say to you, I've got one thing on my bucket list. Yeah? And I hope it's the thing you've got on your bucket list at all. It doesn't matter whether I never get to Peru or Siem Reap or to the parts of Vietnam that I want to go to, or get a chance to visit Australia, or get my thesis published in a popular form. None of those things matter. The thing on my bucket list that I've got is to see awakening in Wiltshire. And I hope that's your investment too, because it makes all these things worthwhile. No matter how many times we have to stand up and do the washing up because everybody else has bunked off, no matter how many times we feel as though we're doing stuff that other people could be doing, if God is going to break out in a new way, then it's worthwhile. That's why Dayspring exists, guys. And if we're not invested in that, really, you ought to go somewhere where the pressure's less. You know? That's what makes it worthwhile. That's what makes us want to reach out. So, that's the first half of this morning's talk. The other half we'll do in a couple of weeks' time, depending on where Pete and Kath take us. So, can we pray? Father, I'm so grateful that you've placed us together in community, you've made us part of teams, that you deign out of your goodness to prompt us in ways that we can understand, even if it all seems a little bit stupid and a little bit obvious when we look back on it. But Father, we come to you and we say, you knew from the beginning about the fact that Mark was going to get a promotion and Kerry was going to get a new job and everything, excuse me, was going to be so busy for them. You knew about what you'd got him as a plan for Sarah. And Lord, I'm sure Alan's so grateful as well as us that you knew before the dawn of creation the difficulties that he would have to face. And that those things that catch us by surprise don't catch you by surprise. And Lord, for the best possible reasons, because we wouldn't be able to cope with what's coming down the pike, you keep things covered. And Lord, we just come before you and say, we're believing in you. We believe that you've put a vehicle that is perfectly suited to our needs and to the needs of this county under the covers, and that it's not some old clunker that's going to disappoint us. And so we say we will trust you, we won't grow weary in well doing, and we will expect that at the time you have decided and we are ready for it, you'll bring things together in a way that will make us say wow all over again. Amen. Okay.